And then all right, so then I can call the meeting to order.
All right, thank you, Chase. I'll go ahead and just read the opening script. So welcome to our virtual meeting. We're going to cover a few basic items before beginning. If you lose connection at any point during the meeting, you can reconnect by clicking the link or calling the number on your original email. To members and city staff members, if you're able, please activate your video for the purpose of quorum and keep it on for the duration of the meeting. Staff, if you're able, please activate your video when you're speaking. The chair and committee staff are responsible for muting and unmuting committee members. Members can rename themselves if they wish to add pronouns after your name. Use the raise hand feature when you'd like to be recognized to speak, ask questions, or request a roll call vote. Members of the public who have registered to speak, the name you entered in Zoom must match the name you entered in registration. You will remain muted until called upon. Staff will tell you when your time is up. After speaking, a member of the body may ask you a question. If you need to share documentation with the board, please send it to the email listed on the on today's agenda. Please do not use your video. If you turn your video on, it will be shut off. All right, Chair, back to you.
And then if we could start with roll call. So first of all, can I just start by saying I would like to welcome Nakaya?
Hello, and thank you.
You're welcome. So we'll go through roll call and then we'll go through the agenda. So Derek Johnson.
Present.
Dr. Hawkins.
Present.
Dominic Davis.
Present.
Nakaya Wiley.
Doctor.
Doctor. All right, Dr. Wiley. All right. And then, since this is my first time running this meeting, Mikkelin, can I ask you to help me out a little bit? So, do I need to do anything now that we've done attendance? As far as can I go on, start with the agenda, or does Carrie and Norm have to say? They're
No,
here as well.
Chair, you can go right ahead. So we've called the roll call, and now we move into approval of minutes. Thank you.
All right. So has everybody had the opportunity to read the minutes? And am I able to get a motion to pass the minutes?
So moved.
Okay. And a second?
Second.
All right. Any discussion? All in favor, say aye.
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 All opposed? All right, so moved. The minutes have been passed or approved. Okay, let's see. And there are no public comments.
That is correct.
Do we have any disclosures or recusals? All right, seeing none, we can move forward to new business. So it looks like finalize and select the 2025 MLK Humanitarian Award winners. That's the, oh, those are the minutes, sorry. Let's see. Oh, combining committees.
Thank you, Chair. If you'd like, I can share the agenda. Would that be
Oh,
okay?
that'd be great. Thank you.
Not happy to speak to this agenda item, Chair.
Okay, thank you, Norm.
All right. Good evening, everyone. Glad to be here with you. Thank you for having us at the convening. This there's been an effort in the city the last two and a half years to try and reduce the number of boards, commissions, and committees. The city, obviously values public input and the public participation process. And there are lots and lots of boards, commissions, and committees that require a lot of resources. And we really started looking at this when we had the kind of the budget crisis, where we had the structural deficit. We had to go to referendum at the end of last year. But nonetheless, focusing on efficient government, we wanted to think about how we can best organize within our boards, commissions, and committees to still be effective, still be inclusive, but create some efficiencies. So the Common Council actually created a resolution for the executive side to go in and look at all the different boards, commissions, and committees. And when the question was asked of me about our department, we note that we have representatives from our three bodies: the Affirmative Action Commission, the Equal Opportunities Commission, and the Disability Rights Commission that serve on this body. And I think even going all the way back to when I first started as director in 2016, there was talk about do we consolidate these bodies? And I, for one, have never wanted to consolidate the bodies. I feel that each group has their own unique focus, and I in no way wanted to water down or just for the sake of consolidate those bodies. And so I expressed that I would not want to look at reducing those bodies, to from three to two or to one. At the same time, we also had some official public bodies that were internally focused. These were employee serving bodies. One was the Multicultural Affairs Committee, and the other was the Women's Initiatives Committee. And those were actually official bodies that had to reach quorum, that had to notice their meetings, produce minutes, et cetera, just like this body does. Excuse me. And it was actually, right around that time that members of those boards actually came to me and said, "We feel kind of constricted by having to have this official capacity. And we would like to not be an official board, commission, or committee, but we want more flexibility to meet. We want more, fewer requirements." And so I worked with them, talked with the mayor's office. We actually hold a small amount of money for them in our budget each year, and I promised them the money wouldn't go away. And so they actually accomplished that. I want to say a little over a year ago. They, sort of got rid of their official status, but they still continue as affinity groups, the Multicultural Affairs Commission, or committee, I should say, and now the Women's Initiative Committee is now the Gender Equity Team. And so, that was one other part of reducing the official boards, commissions, and committees that our department participated in. The last one, and this is why I'm here tonight, I just want to give you a little background and context. The last one has to do with consolidating the awards that we have in our department. So we have the award that you all so dutifully work on throughout the year, the Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King Humanitarian Award. We also have the Reverend James C. Wright Award that is facilitated by the Equal Opportunities Commission. And we have the Alex Olson Award, which is part of an older initiative. It's seeking tolerance and justice over hate. And we've only given that award out, I want to say, three, maybe four times. And I know Katie's, I'm sorry, Katie. Carrie, sorry, Carrie. I don't know how I did that. But Carrie's agency actually was the recipient of the Alex Olson Stajo Seeking Tolerance and Justice Over Hate Award a few years back. But that particular award has never had an approving body or a nominating body. It's always just been staff out of our department. And so although it's not an idea to consolidate awards. I think each of these awards are important and stand on their own. And but you know, I thought perhaps since we now have this this body, this joint city county Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King Humanitarian Award Committee, maybe this is an opportunity for us to bring all of the awards into the purview of this committee. You know, since the Reverend Wright Award happens around June or July, the Dr. King Humanitarian Award happens in January, and the Stajo Award or the Alex Olson Award would typically happen around September, October, is what has been our past practice. So I have been having some conversations. I had some conversations with our friends at Dane County, Office of Equity and Inclusion. I had some conversations with the Equal Opportunities Commission, brief conversation with Chair Benford and Dina Wright, who serves now on the Equal Opportunities Commission and is also the daughter of Reverend Wright. And I've had some conversations with folks in the mayor's office. And very importantly, I had a conversation with Ed Lee and Dr. Hawkins. They represent the King Coalition. And, you know, I wanted to express to them that, again, in no way did I want to diminish, you know, the importance of the King Coalition event, and this award being a part of it. But I just wanted to explore if this body was open to having, you know, two additional for three total of three awards to, you know, collect nominations for, offer recommendations for throughout the year. And so I'd be happy to take questions that you have, and you know, the mechanics behind how we would make that happen would still need to be worked out, you know, in terms of, you know, if that impacts any appointees. I don't know that it would, but you know, it might impact the name of this particular body so that we can reflect all of the awards. But you know, and I also wanted to have some more support for the Alex Olson Award because, as I stated, it has never had a nominating body. So I'm happy to answer any questions, and I don't know that there's a vote necessarily to be had on this item tonight. Excuse me, but I've done some had some background conversations, but I wanted to bring it to this body so that if you have any concerns or any questions I can't answer tonight, I'd be happy to go and research those and bring you answers.
Derek.
Yeah, Norman, thanks for sharing all of the information and context. So I think I heard you say that there is no nominating committee for the Alex Olson Award. Is that correct?
That's correct.
Is there one for Reverend James C. Wright at all?
Yes, it's the Equal Opportunities Commission. They perform that function.
Okay. Do you know, do you have a sense of like how many nominations they typically receive for each award?
That's a good question. I'll research that and get that to you. Michaelin might have a good idea though.
Yeah, thank you. So it's typically between 6 and 10. It depends year to year.
Thanks.
And the Reverend Wright Award is a singular nominee. There, you know, I know sometimes this body will make multiple nominations. The Reverend Wright Award is a singular nominee.
You mean a singular awardee, right? Not nominee.
Yes, I'm sorry, awardee. Thank you.
Dr. Hawkins.
What was the feedback that you received? I know what the feedback, we continued, with the discussion that the coalition had with you, but I would be interested in also knowing what was the feedback from the other committees, agencies, commissions that you met with?
Thank you. Yeah, so it's all been positive. I haven't gotten any anyone that said, I don't think that's a good idea, or I'm concerned. I try to be upfront about that this is what's the word? It's a way for us to bring these processes together so that we're not running different processes with different groups throughout the year. But perhaps there's something that we can learn by having all of these in one group. So it's all been positive. Individuals are interested. It's sort of like just sharing the details going forward would be important. But no one has objected.
Dr. Hawkins?
So it's, I don't know if it's you're the right person we should ask, but anyway, I'll put it out here. Has any thought been given since we're talking about three different awards? There would be an increase in the number and the amount of work that would need to be done. Has any thought been given in terms of enlarging or expanding the commission, this commission, who would be, if this would go forward, the commission that would be reviewing, selecting, sending out, Michaela, sending out information and taking nominees? Has any thought been given to that? Because, the implications would be more work right now with the same size of the commission.
I think
And
that's a good.
also perhaps running nominations throughout the 9 to 12 month year.
That's a very good point, and I think that's something that we need to seriously consider, and something I would likely be in favor of, that can help us. Perhaps with our, to be able to meet on a more regular basis. So yes, I'll put that down as a something that that we'll need to think about if we decide to go in this direction. But yeah, having more capacity will be important.
And Norm, is there an official like ceremony that goes with the other two, kind of like with the MLK humanitarian?
We've kind of done it differently. That's I think that's part of also the reason to try and standardize how we celebrate. So currently there is for the Reverend Wright Award, there's a resolution that's produced, and that resolution is read at a common council meeting in June or July. The awardee receives a letter and an invitation to that common council meeting, and then they're acknowledged and they have an opportunity to speak. Often they will, bring their family members and friends, and take some pictures. And so there's whereas this body, we have a gift. There's multiple. Both the county executive and the mayor are typically at the King Coalition event. So it's a public award, but it's a smaller scale. And then the Alex Olson Award has I think what we've tried to do in the past is sort of join other events that are happening that are public events, and events that carry a common theme or common values, and then we provide that award as a part of another, whether it's a community organization or another government agency. we provide the award at their event.
Thank you. Dr. Hawkins,
That's
can I go
all.
with Derek first and then you?
Oh, okay, Derek first, yes.
Yes, please, thank you.
Norm, do you know if the nomination process for the two other awards are similar to what we do?
In terms of with the qualifying nomination, so you have the questions and
yep.
you know certain criteria.
Mm-hmm.
I believe so. It's certainly different criteria, but there is, there are nominating criteria for the Reverend Wright Award that are reviewed as well. I don't know in detail what that looks like in terms of the scoring. You know how you all have your scoring rubric. I'm not sure what, if any tool is used like that for the Equal Opportunities Commission, but we can find out.
Okay, yeah, I only mentioned that because I was just thinking about maybe if there's a way to kind of standardize, you know, the process, you know, for all three awards, you know, could it make it a little bit more streamlined for the committee and that may not be possible?
Yeah, I would like that.
Dr. Hawkins?
Well, two things now that Derek raised his question. Could you share that information in terms of the criteria, the nomination process? I mean, I would like to see it or have it before any definitive decision is made in either direction, because, you know, the whole notion of having information and knowledge in order to make some informed decisions, you know. But also, I was going to say with the Reverend James Wright Award, maybe, you know, my memory doesn't serve me well all the time, but it seems as though years ago, because I used to receive information about the award and the recipients, you know, given the award, at one point, wasn't there a picnic or gathering or something in the summer that was held as a celebration? So, you know, I just wanted to put that out. You know, not that I'm saying that, yes, I want us to do all of this, but if we're going to think about standardizing things, then let us have a celebration in some way for the public to be apprised of it and part of it, for the others too. That does seem to me to be equitable, or if nothing else, providing visibility to two additional awards that are very worthy for all of us to make note of and for people to be informed about. Visibility is important. In particular, I think visibility is important during these chaotic days and times in our country and in history, to show the worthiness and to inform your public, because with information, hopefully we grow.
Sure, that's a great call. I too remember the Equal Opportunities Commission picnics in the summer. I'd like to blame it on COVID like we do everything else, but I think we stopped doing that a few years before COVID. And honestly, I don't recall, you know, why we didn't continue doing that. But you're right, that was a longstanding fixture over at Warner Park. And so, you know, yeah, that I'm, you know, I had recently brought that up with some of the leadership in the Equal Opportunities Division. And you know, I may bring that up with the commission to take a look at reviving going forward. But yes, I agree. Having a public opportunity to celebrate, when we had either slowed down or we had stopped doing the picnic there, and then when COVID came, it really we that's I believe when we really shifted to the Common Council. But it's a good time to take a look at that again. So thank you. And I will I'll make sure that this body gets the nomination materials for both Stajo or the Alex Olson Award and the Reverend Wright Award.
Are there any further questions? All right. So then I have a question. So Norm, then what's the next step? So since we've had a discussion.
Sure. So I'll make sure that we send out those materials so you can take a look at those materials. And then I'm going to I guess I need to at some point confirm if there are not, objections, and if we feel like, what am I trying to say? I was going to say that, at some point I'll need to inform the mayor's office of, is this a go or no go? And so I think there's a checklist of things before we get there. One of them is you all need to take a look at these nomination materials and see, is that something you can work with? Is it something you want to modify, create some, commonalities or consistencies? There's a question about modifying the membership. Increasing the number of members because we need more capacity. So that's a question from me back to the mayor's office. There is, there's the question of, just making sure that everybody would feel comfortable if this is the direction that we went in. And I guess that would be just, once you all feel like either there's a path forward in this direction or not, then we could take that to the other stakeholders and make sure that we got their buy-in. And at that point, I think there might be that might be when we have a vote to formally move in that direction.
Okay. Is there a timeline? Oh, I'm sorry. Go ahead, Dr. Hawkins.
No, go on, go on.
Oh, is there a timeline? So, is there a timeline that we need to make the determination, especially if for the Alex Olson is September, October? Do we need to begin to think about that currently for this year or
No,
no?
it's been understaffed, and it's not something that we've done consistently every year. And so
Okay.
I don't think we have to feel pressure. I really think this is not a 2025 thing.
Okay.
But I think we would I want this body to be able to focus on its priority, which is your namesake. And so like that award coming up in January. So post January, I think is when we would try to look at if we were going to formally adopt this, that's when we would make the change.
Okay, thank you. Dr. Hawkins?
I don't think we should rush through anything, and this is not something that I would feel comfortable in us trying to do, and at the same time, fulfill our responsibilities currently as the Martin Luther King Humanitarian Commission. So, a 2026, if it moves forward, seems more feasible to me. But that was not what I was going to ask. I was going to ask, Where is the county in this? Because I know that you represent the city and you keep referring to the city. Of course you must, because that's, what you affiliated with. But where is the county with this? Because the commission, this commission, this body is definitely a city county responsibility.
Barry, you're on mute. Carrie, you're on mute. How do I unmute her?
I thought you guys could read my lips. Okay, so in representing the county, yeah, there has been discussion with my director, Wes Sparkman, and he's also meeting with the county executive about that. Thus far, I have not heard that there is, I haven't heard anything negative about proceeding with it. I have to have a follow-up meeting with Wes. But when we initially discussed it, we had no issues with it. I didn't, to be perfectly honest.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Any other questions? All right. So my next question is, so can we continue to have this as an agenda item?
Yes, please. Yes.
Okay.
Thank you. And I really appreciate all your questions, and we'll make sure we get the information. And thank you, even for just considering it.
Awesome. Thanks for bringing it and answering the questions, Norm. All right, so if we're ready for the next agenda item, it's the nomination open update. And so my, again, this is just my thought is, has everybody seen the attachment? So the MLK Humanitarian Awards page, and then the 2026 nomination form and the flyer. Okay. So, are people comfortable with beginning the process of starting to share this out? And do we have any questions regarding that? No?
No,
Okay.
no questions. I think everything looked good.
Okay. All right. So, I'm going to say that we can begin to share the information out and begin to share. I know that we had talked about previously, Nicolin, is there a list of community-based organizations that you can share with the committee? And then we can either go through that list and send them out to folks that we know or add to the list.
Sure. Yeah, thank you, Chair. I can do that. Yeah, in the past, I've worked with Carrie. If you all remember, we had a SharePoint site where we had our documents in there, and there was a list of contacts. So I'll go back in and check in with Carrie to make sure there's a up-to-date contact list that we have, and I'll send that in an email to members.
Awesome. Okay, thank you.
I concur.
Okay. All right.
Can
Any
just
qu
remind me,
Oh, go ahead.
is the nomination form online?
It is.
Okay, so nominators can submit all of the required documents online.
Oh, I'm sorry. No, it is not. Right now, it's a fillable PDF and a Word document.
Okay, I just know that's something we've talked about in previous years. So this might also relate to the previous conversation we were having about streamlining our processes. But I think it would be extremely helpful if somehow, some way, we can get some of these forms to be online submissions to make things a little bit easier. But that's just a thought.
Is there any? Oh, sorry, Nora.
Yeah, if I may, yeah, I know that we did talk about that, and I think we were working on that with our document team at the city. And sorry, Michael, to put you on the spot. Do you recall where that might have landed?
Yeah, thank you, Norm. Yeah, so I think IT had a priority list of projects, and I think that just landed on the back burner. So I think we need to have a conversation with Cass to make sure that moves back up on the list.
Okay. All right. I'll have that conversation with IT. Thank you. And thank you for that reminder, Dr. Johnson.
All right. So I just want to make sure that I'm understanding that everybody feels comfortable as far as sending out the MLK humanitarian information to begin the process. Okay. Awesome. And then we'll keep this on the agenda item or the agenda to continue to discuss it. Okay. All right. So if we can, the next discussion item is to debrief the King Coalition program. Dr. Hawkins, can I call on you? I wasn't in attendance.
Well, we want you to be there next this coming year, okay?
I will be here this coming
I
year.
do all of my friends like that too. So you were not, but it happened so long ago. And you
No.
know what? I didn't look at the program to prepare. I could do it at the next meeting. But I
Okay.
do want to say, we had a good, I mean, my recall is that we had a good program. It followed, I'm always a stickler for time, so we were a little off on time. I'm going to jerk our awardees and the mayor and the county executive one day, because sometimes it just go a little bit too long. But anyway, it still was beautiful though. It was just beautiful. They did a good job. I guess one of the things that we discussed, Ed and I discussed, and I think we brought it up when we met with Norm, is that is how the youth awardee, particularly if it is someone who is 18 years or less, how that award can be given at the youth program that is held during the day and prior to the evening's program. But that is something that would have to be discussed both in this body as well as continue to discuss as it relates to the King Coalition actual program. We are very sensitive to a couple of things. One is the time, because the next day is a school night. I mean, a school day is the night before a school day. And if we really want to, where I think that the youth program during the day is just wonderful, and we bring the keynote speaker in to talk to the students are involved in different workshops, and it's wonderful. And I attend. I may not attend the entire time, but I attend. I have done that since we been doing the youth program. It would be really good in terms of the young people meeting the recipient of the youth award, and in many ways that can serve as a role model to young people. And then but we also need to talk with the youth service program group too, which I'm a part of, but I don't lead that. And then also, if much as possible, we just really want to kind of think of that because we do run into the whole notion of time, and we're trying to be sensitive to families and young people, in terms of not being out late. So And we had a wonderful speaker, Bishop, the bishop, and it was just wonderful. So anyway, I could give you a line by line next time. I would promise to prepare.
Thank you,
But
Dr. Hawkins.
the coalition, the commission does an excellent job in its selection of its awardees, the caliber of the people, particularly in terms of their service to the larger community. So I do want to share that to everyone on the commission, how we really appreciate you, I guess included me too, since I'm part of this body, but we really appreciate all of the work that this body does.
Wonderful. Thank you. Any questions or comments? All right, seeing none. Looks like the next discussion item is to debrief the 2025 nomination and selection process. Any comments? So I'll say the only one that I have is I remember last year we did a, I thought we did a really good job and a push when it came to the youth nominations. And then I felt like when we got to the point, they fell short as far as it was all academics, it was all school related versus school and community related. So is there anything that we think we could do differently or should do differently as far as highlighting that? Because if I recollect, everybody, I felt like there was a group from, oh, Carrie.
I think on what Dr. Hawkins had mentioned, perhaps maybe push it where it maybe goes to a program earlier in the day. Because this is, we run into this every year. I reach out to the schools, I reach out to community centers, and when I'm out in the community, I take flyers and I explain it to people. And some people will say they thought it was for, you know, I've heard, well, I thought it was for more well-known people that are out there. I thought it was for adults. I didn't realize. And so it's the same thing every year. Somehow there's this disconnect with the youth. And I'm thinking, if it, you know, we push it now, when school starts, we get a few months in, and then there could be some youth. But then there's that first semester. And we, you know, I'm thinking November, December, we have Thanksgiving holiday. We've got a couple days there, and then we have the December, and then January comes. And again, and this is like a revolving door. You know what I mean? With that, and I'm wondering if that should, I'm thinking of what Dr. Hawkins said, perhaps maybe push it with that, with 18 years old or less, to like what a different, you know, the other youth award that goes out. I don't know. That's what I'm thinking, because it seems to be the focus does seem to be on the older, when I say older, 18 and up, you know what I mean? People, the adult adults, not the youth adults. It seems to be my experience. So.
Thank you.
I might just encourage us, and I haven't spent any time, but this is just coming up now, but taking a look at some of the questions that we ask in the nomination form, if that applies to youth, right? And if we need to maybe be a little bit more broad or be a little more defined in terms of questions that we want to ask specifically about the youth, because we're kind of doing the apply all. And I wonder if, you know, as nominators sort of reading through some of the questions that they respond to, if they feel like this doesn't really apply to, you know, say a 15-year-old who's doing great work, you know, in the school or in the broader community. So might encourage us just take a look at that and review it.
Okay.
I would endorse that too. Thank you, Derek. Yes. And it reminds me of two people right off of the top of my head that I'm thinking about. They are definitely young adults. These are people in their 30s now, but I remember when they received the Youth Award. And, you know, I'm thinking about Woody, you know, Fabu's son. He was in high school. And other students who were active, not only in high school, but in the community. And it's interesting, they never, or at least in their early adulthood and to college, they never lost that zeal of service, of really working on campus or in the community and working with young people, say that were in the public schools after they graduated from high school. So, you know, how we, the questions that we ask or the descriptors that we provide might give us more, a better yield. I also want to say, you know, we all are really busy, but we have some affiliations with something that involves youth. I'm just thinking about my sorority and some of the people, my sorors, and the things that they are doing in terms of working with young people. I can be a little more active or involved, or assertive rather, not necessarily involved, it's not the right word, assertive in reaching out to them and say, these are the nomination forms. You know, think about who you would like to nominate or share this with, you know, people who are working or volunteering with you, so that maybe from this you can nominate some people. You know, people, if you attend church, people at your church, you know, connecting with them. We need to help carry in sending this information out in terms of us really reaching out to the communities and the groups and organizations that we affiliated with. And I haven't done that, and I know I can do better. But that might, along with what Derek mentioned, that might yield us not only more, but also young people who could definitely be role models to our youth in Dane County. So I'm going to do my part, Carrie and Derek. Okay.
Thank you, Dr. Hawkins. So I think my question is, and if my memory serves me correct, so last year we did a push for youth, and then we received youth nominations, and then the decision was made that the youth were doing things only in school or school activities. They were not considered community-based activities. Am I remembering that correctly? So I think for me, that's where I want to make sure that we figure out, or we make it very clear, that it's both school and community, because we didn't select any youth last year, correct?
I don't recall. That all seems like a blur to me. Right now, but I don't know.
That's correct.
It was Charles Tubbs and Sheree Wallace.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so I just want to make sure, because again, and I'll stop going on because I want to make sure that I get this correctly, but I don't want to just keep pounding it. So I want to make sure that when we're delivering the message, that the message is, it's both community and school related activities that our young people are involved in, because last year it was heavy in school and not in community. And so none of the young people moved forward.
And then
yes,
also, and then also, yes. And also we need to do what Derek has suggested. We need to really review that application and the context, within the context of community and school.
Okay.
And service. Yeah. You
I
know.
Agree. Oh, sorry, go ahead. No, sure. I agree 100%. And I mean, for me, honestly, it's more about like impact versus where it's actually taking place, right? So I think, you know, a youth could very well be making a very strong impact within their own school. Another youth could be making a major impact in the community. So just really thinking about, again, you know, how that translates is what's a little bit more important for me.
Okay, thank you. So I want to make sure that we think about that or keep that at the forefront as we're reviewing or going through nominations. Okay, and then can we put it on the agenda? So I think our next meeting is September 15th. So can we put on the agenda that we're going to review the questions? And then if there's any changes that need to be made. And also, can I ask if people review the questions ahead of time and then come with any type of changes or adjustments they want to make, and then we can have a discussion from there?
Absolutely. It made me think, do we know for the Youth MLK Award? No, is it the Youth MLK Award? No, the you know, the Urban League puts on their annual Youth Recognition Award. I'm assuming that school staff, community members have to nominate a student. Are there certain questions that maybe they ask that we might want to consider adapting somehow? Again, I'm not sure exactly what they ask or what their process looks like, but they seem to get a lot of nominations. So I'm just wondering if, you know, we might want to take a look at some of the questions they ask.
Okay. So can we just reach out to them and ask them for their questions?
Sure. Okay. They can always say no. But Ed won't say no to me.
So Dr. Hawkins, does that mean that you'll ask Dr. Ed?
Carrie, help me. She'll remind me.
I got you. Mm-hmm.
Awesome. Thank you. Dominic?
Yeah. Okay. So I just want to make sure I'm understanding this correctly. So we're going to review the questions at the next meeting, but will that be for the applications for 2026? Okay, great. Yes. So it's like we've got everything out already for this year. Perfect. I think that's a great plan. Let's review everything for the next one. And it makes sense if people come with suggestions for changes at that time too, at that meeting.
Thanks, cool. Dominic. Thank you for clarifying that.
Yeah, I was just wanting to make sure that I had the timeline right in my head.
Yep. Awesome. Thank you. All right. And then let's see. To review the draft award timeline. Again, my question is, can we move this to the September meeting? Okay. And then also the meeting scheduled for 2025, which is really going to be 2026. Can we move that to the next meeting? All right. Are there any other future agenda items that anybody wants to add?
Oh, I have a question.
Yes.
I read somewhere, I think I remember that, and you just said it, that our next meeting was September 15th. So we're changing the meeting schedule.
That's what I have on my calendar.
I mean, you know, it is August, I guess we usually have it the last Monday. I mean, in the past, I guess I've been on so long. On the commission, usually the last Monday. And I know this was like a call meeting because we didn't have a quorum last week. So I'm just asking the question, have we changed the schedule so that we can attend, okay, if we weren't supposed to.
Yeah, let me, Micheline, I think she has the answer to that, Dr. Hawkins.
Yeah, thank you, Chair. So our next meeting is August 25th. So in about 3 weeks' time.
Oh, okay. So we'll.
So our meetings are usually the last Monday of each month, unless there's a particular holiday, and I'll be sure to check that schedule and let you know.
Okay. Oh, okay. So then our next meeting is August 25th?
Correct.
Okay. All right. Any other further questions or discussion? Seeing none, I'll look for a motion to adjourn.
So moved.
Second?
Second.
All right. We'll see everybody on the 25th of August.